Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Judge, could we publish what's marked as Exhibit 36?
All right. Exhibit 36 may be published.
And obviously, at some point, Officer, the shovels were placed back against the wall. Would you agree with that in a subsequent picture?
Correct.
Do you see anything unusual about the handle of the shovel from the picture on the floor?
From this picture, I don't see anything unusual.
Okay. Does that help?
I'm still not seeing anything.
Okay. So what I gathered, officer, is that at some point, pictures were taken of the shovels against the wall. That was the first picture I showed you, correct?
The very first picture, I think, was the as-is photo of the shovels against the wall.
And then subsequently, the pictures were shown to be on the floor of the garage, correct?
Correct.
And someone took the shovels from the wall and put them on the floor, correct?
Correct.
And then at some point later than that, the shovels were taken from the floor and put on the garage wall, and that would be the last picture I took, correct?
Somebody moved them and put them against the wall and took a photo.
Right.
I don't know at what time
that
happened.
But you do know that the pictures were, in terms of a time frame, the pictures were, the first picture was the as-is photo, correct?
I know that. I know the first picture was the as-is photo because they were in place.
Okay. And then the other two photos, we don't know exactly when those were taken.
I'd have to look at our photo logs to kind of match that up for you to tell you which one was taken before the other. That makes sense.
At any time, officer, did anybody during the digging of either of the grave sites use the Daybell's shovels to dig the grave sites?
No, they did not.
Did anybody use the pickaxe there on the Daybell gravesite during your excavation?
No, they did not.
But nobody had access to the garage from the time you arrived at 7:30 on June 9th, is that right? Sorry, that wasn't particularly clear, was it?
No.
Thank you. Nobody other than law enforcement was able to go on the property on June 9th through June 10th during this excavation other than law enforcement. Is that correct?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
So there wouldn't have been any citizens or anybody else who would have had access to the Daybell property from June 9th until June 10th, correct?
Correct.
So the shovels, as they see, were basically secured by your law enforcement or all of the law enforcement agencies that were there on those particular days. Would that be fair?
Fair.
Okay. Now, the burial site of JJ, we talked about that. That was approximately a foot and a half deep. Is that right?
I think it was just over 2 feet deep.
Okay. And then the length and the width, do you recall that?
I don't. I'd have to look at our information from our burial scanner.
And you were basing the ability to locate JJ's remains basically by some electronic data that you received indicating someone was there on the 23rd. Is that right?
One of the things we used was telephone ping information showing that somebody was in that area. But one of the reasons we showed you those photos we took was just to show you that it was fairly easy to walk to. As we walked towards that burial, that raised berm, it was pretty easy to distinguish where that burial site was.
And I appreciate that.
Also. It was hidden, though.
Judge, I'm going to object.
I'm going to object to you talking over the top of his response, Mr. Pryor. Let him finish his answer.
And Judge, it's non-responsive.
Mr. Pryor, you just ran over me. Stop cutting people off in your cross, please, including me. Let the witness finish, and we'll never get an accurate record if you keep doing that. So please do that.
And Judge, my objection is non-responsive. I asked him about the electronic data. I didn't ask him about the rest of this colloquy.
Your Honor,
ask another question, Mr. Pryor.
You engaged in the use of electronic data to locate the remains of J.J. Vallow on the 23rd. Is that right?
That was just one of the things we used, the telephone ping information showing that there was a telephone ping in that northeast area by the pond. Okay. Was just one reason or indicator to show us to go look in that area.
Okay, thank you. And that northeast corner is adjacent to one of the main roads that runs by the front of the Daybell property. Is that right?
No, that's not right. The northeast part of the property sits back from the main road.
Okay, and it would be, in terms of a square, if you're looking at the Daybell property, it would be on the upper left portion of the Daybell property. Would that be fair?
No, it'd be on the upper right side.
If you're looking at the Daybell property.
Oh, you're talking about front of the road.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know from which. It's on the northeast quadrant of the property.
And then the location of Tylee's remains, would it be fair to say, are in the center of the property, of the Daybell property?
Probably close. It's just east of that large red garage.
Okay. Now on the, you had made mention of a pet cemetery. I think that's the word you used. Is that right?
Correct.
And as part of the search, did you locate some pillars or what appeared to be a makeshift sign of some kind on the Daybell property?
Near the area that I called the pet cemetery, there were two wooden posts.
Right.
And in front of one of the wooden posts, there was a dog statue.
Okay. Okay. And was that part of the way you were able to identify where this pet cemetery was by that dog statue?
When I initially designated an area of the pet cemetery, there was the dog statue that was an indicator.
Okay.
And then in front of the pet or the dog statue, there were several depressions, which could be an indicator of burials. So I kind of made a square area or perimeter around those burials and called that the initial pet cemetery.
And was there also a tree somewhere in a close location of that, those two pillars and poles?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Judge, I think that's all I have at this point.
All right. Let's go ahead and do redirect if you have any, Mr. Wood.
Just briefly. Agent, you were talked to about by counsel about securing the scene between the 9th of June 10th and, excuse me, the night of June 9th and the morning of June 10th, correct?
Correct.
When you returned on June 10th, was the property in the same condition as you had left it on June 9th?
It was.
You were asked about some tools that you collected.
Yes.
When you collected those tools, what did you do with them?
We packaged, at the end of the day, we packaged them and provided them to the Rexburg Police Department.
You're asked about JJ's burial site and electronic data that helped you find it. You were in the process of speaking about, let me rephrase that. What else led you to locate JJ besides the electronic data?
So besides that electronic data that just gave us kind of a general vicinity to look at, once we started progressing to that area, we showed you already the photographs that showed you how high the vegetation was in the general area, that whole pasture, whatever you want to call it. And as we progressed towards his burial, we kind of showed you how that vegetation right above the berm was different than everything around it. And that raised berm was different than everything around it. So once you were out there and you kind of see that difference, whether it's a depression or a berm, and it's just different than all of the surrounding area, that's what kind of drew our attention. So the ping might have got us to the general vicinity, that northeast quadrant. But once you were there and you kind of use these other trainings, techniques, it just honed us in on this is different. And then we could start excavating that site that we showed you earlier.
You were asked about a planning meeting.
Yes.
Do you recall when that took place?
I don't remember exactly, but I'm going to guess it was probably the night before the actual search warrant. So probably June 8th, the evening of June 8th is my guess.
And Mr. Pryor asked you if I was there.
Correct.
Do you recall the two Fremont County prosecutors who were there?
I don't. Okay. At the time, I didn't really know many people in the area. So
I believe earlier, well, you were asked about the pet cemetery.
Yes.
Did you locate any pets in the pet cemetery?
We did.
What did you locate?
We found a dog remains and cat remains.
Your Honor, that's all I have.
All right. That will conclude the testimony then of Agent Daniels. I'm going to inquire from the state and the defense. Is there going to be any recall of this witness coming up?
Your Honor, we're not planning on it. However, we are advising all of our law enforcement that they will essentially remain under subpoena up through rebuttal.
Okay. And with that then, Agent Daniels, you are still subject to the exclusionary order, meaning please don't watch the trial because it is being live streamed and easily accessible, or observe any trial testimony so that you may have the ability to be recalled to testify if necessary.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. That'll conclude your testimony. You can go ahead and step down. All right. At this point, I'm going to suggest maybe we take the mid-morning recess before we call the next witness and allow the gallery to fill back in on the other side of the courtroom. Is there going to be any need to have, is there any concern with putting them back there with the next witness or the evidence that might be presented?
No, Your Honor, there's not going to be any graphic images shown.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. We'll go ahead and take our recess then. Let's try and come back on at about 20 after. So we'll come back on for more evidence then.
All right, please. District Court, stand and tell.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, Mr. Bailiff, if we could please have our jurors return.
All right, please. Jury's off, President Counter, Your Honor.
Thank you. Please be seated.
And Your Honor, may we approach briefly before calling the next witness?
Yes. All right, the state can call its next witness.
Your Honor, the state will call Melanie Pulowski.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Yes.
All right, the witness has been sworn. Before we begin with direct examination, I am going to inquire from the witness because this trial has been both live streamed and open to public access. Ms. Pulowski, have you reviewed or watched any of the trial testimony since this case started?
No, sir.
Have you talked to anybody about the testimony they've given at trial?
No, sir.
Okay, that'll conclude my inquiry. Then you may inquire, Ms. Blake, on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Yes. Melanie Pawlowski, M-E-L-A-N-I-P-A-W-L-O-W-S-K-I.
Ms. Pawlowski, do you know an individual named Lori Vallow?
Yes.
How do you know her?
She's my aunt.
Do you know an individual named Alex Cox?
Yes.
And how do you know him?
He was my uncle.
And do you know an individual named Chad Daybell?
Yes.
How do you know him?
He married my aunt, Lori.
Do you recall approximately when he married your aunt?
I believe they were married sometime in November of 2019.
And had you met him prior to Lori and he getting married?
Yes.
In relation to your relationship with Alex Cox, were you close with him?
Yes.
And how about with Lori? Were you close with her?
Yes.
At some point, did you look to Lori as a mother figure?
Yes.
And when you met, do you recall approximately when you met Chad?
I believe in November of 2018.
Did you continue to interact with Chad from that point on?
Through Lori.
So when you say through Lori, would you communicate with Chad through Lori?
She would say, Chad said to tell you this, it would be mostly through Lori for the most part.
Would you also send messages to Chad through Lori?
Yes.
Did that include you asking Chad for guidance or advice?
Yes.
Would you say at some point you developed a close relationship with Chad?
Yes.
At some point, did you eventually begin referring to him as Dad?
Yes.
At some point, did Lori and Chad begin sharing teachings with you or their purported beliefs?
Yes.
Do you recall them sharing some teachings regarding light and dark?
Yes.
Do you recall which one of them or if it was both of them that shared those things with you?
Both.
And when you say both, at times, were they both together when they shared those with you?
Both together and separate.
So at times just Lori would share them?
Yes.
And at times just Chad would share them. Is that fair?
I don't know if I remember a time where it was just Chad. I do remember them being together and then with just Lori.
And with what Lori was teaching you, do you know where those ideas were originating from?
I believe they came from Chad.
Do you recall what they taught you or told you in relation to light and dark?
From what I remember, Chad was said to have a gift to spiritually discern, and he could see light and dark, or if a person had good intentions, but that he could see through and had that gift.
And did you ever learn about him having some kind of a tool or something that he would use to help him discern light and dark?
Yes.
What did you learn about that?
That he had a pendant or like necklace, something to that effect that he could, like a pendulum kind of thing, where he could get an answer to something he wanted to know.
And it looks like, and just for the record, it looks like you were making a swinging motion with your hand. Is that correct?
That's what I've seen from other people that will use like a tool or something like that, that you, I think you swing it, and if it swings one way, it means yes or no. I'm not sure exactly.
And was it your understanding that Chad always had to use that tool to discern light and dark?
From what I remember being told is that he didn't always need that. It was just something extra he could use.
At some point, did Chad and Lori teach you about castings?
Yes.
What do you recall them teaching you regarding castings?
From the basis of where it comes in the scriptures, where you raise your, actually, I don't even know if that specifically is in the scriptures, but where you raise your right hand and can cast out a dark spirit or a demon. But they would explain how to do that and the correct way to do that, or sharing different ideas on how what that could mean.
And did they teach you who castings would be done on or for?
Yes.
And who were those individuals?
That you could do, you could cast out at any time for anybody if you feel like you're being inflicted with some type of dark spirit or a bad feeling that anybody at any time could raise the right hand to the square and cast out.
Did you participate in any castings?
Yes.
Do you recall who those castings were done on or for?
I remember one where Lori invited us over to do a casting on Charles.
And had
Charles.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
And you said it was done on Charles?
Yes.
Had you been told anything in relation to Charles being dark at that point?
I think at that time they believed, and they, Lori and Chad, believed Charles was affected by some type of dark spirit.
When you participate in a casting, is the person there? So was Charles physically present when you participated in the casting?
No.
And as part of the casting, was anything physically being done to Charles?
By
any of you?
Oh, no.
So he's not there. No one's laying hands on him during a casting?
No.
At some point, did you learn whether or not JJ had been labeled as dark?
Yes.
And what did you learn in relation to that?
There's an objection based on foundation.
And Your Honor, I'm just asking broadly if at some point she learned that.
In several rules.
At some point, did you learn that JJ had been deemed dark?
Yes.
Do you recall what you learned in relation to that?
I don't remember super clearly on that, but just that at some point JJ was affected by some type of darkness.
Did you ever learn anything in relation to Tylee being labeled as dark?
Yes.
And what did you learn in relation to that?
That I believe Chad labeled her as dark.
Do you know who it was that labeled JJ as dark?
I assume that it was Chad.
And is that because Chad had the ability or...
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. It's bleeding.
Sustained.
Previously, had you learned about Chad having the ability to discern light and dark?
Yes.
In the casting you participated in, do you recall if Lori was present?
Yes.
Do you recall if Chad was present?
I believe he was.
Do you know?
I'm sorry, Ms. Pelosi, could you maybe pull the mic a little closer? I think we're barely picking you up.
Yes, sorry.
You're welcome.
And it might be directional too if you pop it just under your chin.
Okay.
That's better. Thank you.
Do you know where the idea of castings, the way that Chad and Lori were teaching it, originated from?
Judge, could I have some foundation objection?
Your Honor, I'm asking if she knows where it originated.
Overruled.
Sorry, could you say it again?
Do you know where the idea of casting, how Lori and Chad were teaching it, where it originated from or who, with whom?
From what I remember, their teachings and their ideas were constantly changing, but I believe the original idea came from the Julie Rowe podcasts where she would teach how to cast out. And she had a long way of doing that. And then I think they kind of both, and Chad and Lori, when I say both, kind of added their own ideas to that from there.
And we talked a little bit about Tylee, but did you know Tylee, Ryan?
Yes.
And how did you know her?
She was my cousin.
Do you recall when the last time you saw Tylee was?
I believe the last time I saw her was when she was packing up in Arizona, preparing to move with her mom and with JJ.
And do you know JJ Vallow?
Yes.
And how did you know him?
He was my cousin.
And you last saw him around that same time?
Yes.
Prior to Lori moving, do you recall Charles passing away?
Yes.
Do you recall learning of Charles passing?
Yes.
Who did you learn about it from?
From what I remember, my ex-husband pulled me into the garage and had Adam Cox, my uncle, on the phone. And he said...
I'm going to object at this point. Calls for hearsay.
Sustain.
Your Honor, and I would say it doesn't go for the truth of the matter. It goes for the effect on the listener.
I'll still sustain the objection. The question was, what did she learn? And that's coming directly now from some hearsay, so it's sustained.
So you learned from Adam Cox?
Yeah. The witness is being led. Objection.
I'll sustain that as well. That was a leading question. Strike the answer.
Who did you learn? Who told you about Charles passing?
I remember Adam Cox told me my ex.
I'm going to object at this point. The response calls for hearsay.
Overruled.
You can continue. My uncle Adam Cox, I remember, was on speaker on my ex-husband's phone, and he said Charles had been murdered.
Judge, I'm going to move to strike. I previously objected.
That's sustained. The answer's stricken.
Did at some point, did you speak with Lori about Charles' death?
Yes.
What do you recall what she told you regarding Charles' death?
Yes, I remember I went to her home and her and Tylee were still shooken up from it, but they explained that there was some type of fight that my uncle Alex got into with Charles and that Alex shot Charles.
Were you aware if Chad had ever designated Alex to have a certain role in this life?
I'm an object. There's lack of foundation.
Overruled.
You can answer if you know.
I'm not sure specifically what that was, but probably designated something.
Did you ever talk to Alex about Charles' death?
Yes.
What did Alex tell you?
He told me that Charles had become enraged and that he got into a physical fight with him, that there was a baseball bat involved, and that Charles had hit Alex in the back of the head with a baseball bat, and then he ended up shooting him with his gun that he had.
And this took place prior to Lori moving to Rexburg, is that correct?
Yes.
Did you ever talk to Lori about why she was moving to Rexburg?
I don't know if she told me she was moving right off the bat. She was kind of... I just remember when she was moving, she was telling everybody different things, kind of where she's moving, or that she was needed to be protected and had to protect the kids, that she was going into hiding.
So she mentioned needing to be protected?
Yes.
Who else moved with her, if you know, when she left to Rexburg?
She took Tylee and JJ, I believe, with her when she moved to Rexburg, and Alex Cox helped them move.
Did Alex Cox also move?
Yes.
At some point after they moved to Rexburg, did you end up visiting them?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when that would have been?
I believe it was the end of September, on a weekend when I wasn't with my children, and I flew up to visit Lori.
Where did you stay when you were in Rexburg?
I stayed at the apartment that Lori was staying at.
When you arrived, did you see JJ?
No.
I'm going to object on the basis if we could just have some foundation as to time and date.
Your Honor, she said one of the last weekends in September.
I'll overrule it.
And to clarify, was this of 2019?
Yes.
When you arrived, was JJ there?
No.
Was Tylee there?
No.
Do you recall if Melanie Gibb or David Warwick were there during your visit?
I don't remember them being there during my visit, from what I remember.
Did you ask Lori where Tylee was?
Yes.
What did she tell you?
I got a few different answers, but one I remember clearly was that she was with a friend from college at BYU and that she was kind of doing her own thing. But that's the one of the main answers that she would give.
Did you ask where JJ was?
Yes.
What did she tell you about JJ?
She said she had hired a nanny there in the area and that the nanny helped a lot with JJ.
Prior to going up there to visit, had you spoken with Lori on the phone?
Yes.
Did you ever hear Tylee or JJ in the background?
Not that I remember.
During that visit, did you see Chad Daybell?
I don't remember if I did or didn't.
In October, do you recall going on a trip with Lori?
Yes.
Where did you go?
You said October?
Yes, October.
We went to Hawaii.
Do you recall going somewhere with her prior to traveling to Hawaii?
Yes.
And where was that?
Missouri.
When you went to Missouri, was Tylee with you?
No.
Was JJ with you?
No.
Did you ask Lori where they were?
Yes.
What did she tell you?
I think she said that the nanny was helping with JJ, and I don't think Tylee at the time needed like a babysitter. She was old enough to kind of be independent. Or maybe it could have been too that Tylee was helping with JJ. I can't remember exactly.
Did you ever hear Lori on the phone with them while you were in Missouri?
No.
And then you said you traveled to Hawaii with her in October as well?
Yes.
And again, is this October of 2019?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately what part of October, what time in October you went to Hawaii?
I believe it was in the middle of October.
Was JJ with you in Hawaii?
No.
Was Tylee with you in Hawaii?
No.
Did you ask Lori where they were?
I believe I did. I probably would have, yes.
And do you recall what she indicated to you?
I don't. Probably one of the same answers she had been.
Judge, I'm going to move for objection, speculation. She answered the question.
Sustained.
Did you ever hear Lori on the phone with JJ or Tylee while you were in Hawaii?
No.
Did you hear her on the phone with Chad Daybell?
I heard her on the phone, but she would put headphones in, so I never knew who she was talking to.
Did you know the nature of Chad and Lori's relationship?
Somewhat, or I thought I did. Now I have different ideas, but...
At the time, did you think they were really close?
Yes.
Do you know, or did you observe them talk on the phone a lot?
I'm going to object at this point without some foundation.
You can answer if you know.
Can you ask that again?
You observe them talk on the phone a lot?
Lori always had headphones in, but I assumed...
Judge, I'm going to object. Calls for speculation.
Well, the answer is so it's sustained.
Did Lori ever tell you that she would talk to Chad?
Yes.
Did Lori ever tell you that she would exchange text messages with Chad?
I assumed she texted with Chad. I don't think she ever... I mean, probably. She probably would say, I texted Chad and he said this.
And she would give you messages from Chad, correct?
Yes.
So you knew, based on what she was telling you, she'd been in communication with Chad?
Yes.
Did something happen back in Idaho while you were in Hawaii?
Yes.
And what was that?
Tammy Daybell passed away.
How did you learn that information?
Audrey, who was staying with us.
Judge, I'm going to eject. It's going to call for hearsay.
Same.
At some point while you were there, you learned of Tammy's passing, though?
Yes.
How did Lori seem to be?
She, from what I could tell, seemed in a state of shock, just surprised.
Did Lori head back to Idaho after that?
Yes.
Did you head back to Idaho right away?
No, I stayed longer.
Was someone else supposed to go on the trip with you and Lori to Hawaii?
I think I found out later that Alex was going to come with us on that trip.
Why didn't Alex go?
Lori said Chad had something that he needed help with.
At some point, did Chad or Lori talk to you about the Church of the Firstborn?
Yes.
What, if anything, did they indicate in relation to Chad's role with the Church of the Firstborn?
That Chad believed he was to help organize and learn more about the Church of the Firstborn.
Did Chad and Lori ever share with you what they believed their mission in this world to be?
I believe it was to help with the second coming of Jesus Christ.
And we'd talked about the dark and light and you turning to Chad for advice. Were those some of the things that you would ask Chad if someone was dark or light?
Yes.
At some point, did you learn a different term for people that were possessed?
Yes.
And what was that term?
Zombie.
Do you recall who introduced that term to you?
I believe it was Lori.
At some point, did Chad or Lori also talk to you about what it meant if someone was possessed or became a zombie, where the actual person would go?
Yes.
What did you learn in regards to that?
So that there was some type of darkness that you couldn't cast out. And so if this, that the Lord in his due time would have to take, that person would pass away because this darkness was too much or something like that.
So if someone were to be possessed and with a strong enough entity, essentially the body would have to die.
Judge, that's leading. Calls for speculation.
That's a sustained on leading.
If someone became too dark, would the body have to die?
Judge, leading.
Overruled.
I believe so. That I think that was their idea, that they would pass away because they couldn't have this darkness inside them, or that it overtook them.
And do you know where that idea originated from, or with who?
Judge, calls for speculation.
Overruled.
The zombie idea? Or the
idea that the body would have to expire.
I'm not sure where it originated, but I believed it to be Chad.
At some point, did you have conversations with Chad and Lori about law enforcement?
Yes.
What did they tell you in relation to law enforcement?
They told me that law enforcement was corrupt and that they were after them. and that they couldn't be trusted.
Did they tell you anything in relation to whether or not to speak with law enforcement?
Yes.
And what did they tell you?
They told me don't speak with law enforcement.
Judge, can I have some foundation?
Overruled.
Objection.
At some point, do you recall if specific law enforcement officers were identified as dark by Chad and Lori?
Yes.
Who were those officers?
Detective Aramisio and I want to say Detective Hope. Is that, I'm not sure if that's right. It was somebody who was related to Tammy's family, I think.
And those are the two you specifically remember being named?
Yes.
At some point, did Chad, well, let me back up. Where were you living in November of 2018?
I moved up to...
Or 2019, excuse me. November of 2019.
I moved up to Rexburg the first week in November of 2019.
Were you also living there in December of 2019?
Yes.
At some point, did you learn JJ and Tylee had been declared missing?
Yes.
Did Chad tell you anything in relation to where you should be living?
I remember that he said that Madison County wasn't safe and to wait until the whole thing blew over, but that I should move away out of that county for the time being.
And was this after the children had been deemed missing?
Yes.
Did you have occasion to observe Lori and Alex together?
Yes.
What did you observe about their relationship?
That they, from what I could tell, just had a playful, fun sibling relationship, would help each other out as brother, sister.
Would Alex do what Lori asked?
I'm not sure everything she's asked him, but for the most part, he would help her if she needed his help with something.
Did you have an opportunity to observe Alex and Chad together?
Yes.
What did you observe about their relationship?
Alex admired Chad and looked up to him like a brother.
Would Alex do what Chad asked him to do?
Objection calls for speculation.
I believe he had enough trust in Chad that he would listen to him.
And you talked about learning Alex stayed behind from Hawaii because Chad needed his help with something?
I believe that's what Lori said, that he was going to come with us, but ended up not working out.
When law enforcement were looking for the children, did you observe anything about how Alex seemed to feel about that or behave?
He seemed calm and normal, just collected, his normal self.
And did Alex tell you anything in relation to how Chad reacted to law enforcement getting involved?
I don't remember who told me, but it was...
Jack calls for speculation. It's hearsay.
Sustained.
Did you ever talk to Chad about concerns you had regarding tracking devices?
Yes.
What do you recall about that?
Chad reached out and told me that my ex-husband was following me and had put a tracking device on my car.
Did that turn out to be true?
Yes.
Did that make you trust him more?
Chad?
Yes.
It validated a lot of the things he was saying, for me at least.
I may have just a moment.
You may.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. All right. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Good morning, Ms. Pulaski.
Good morning.
I want to start off with the trip to Hawaii. Can you tell me when approximately you and Lori went to Hawaii?
I don't know the exact dates, but it was towards the middle or end of October.
And how long of a trip did that detail?
I believe it was a week, right around a week or 10 days, maybe.
Do you have any recollection of Lori ever leaving in that relative period for a longer trip to Hawaii, like 2 months? Or longer?
During the month of October?
No, in 2019, 2020.
After, I guess if this answers your question, after December when they left to Hawaii?
Well, I'm referencing a time when JJ was with Charles and Lori went to Hawaii for some time during that period. Do you remember that?
I'm not sure how long she went to Hawaii for.
February and March of 2019. Do you recall that?
I'm not sure what dates it was.
Okay. I want to go over a little bit of a procedural history so I get some context as to where you were living. So in November of 2018, where were you living?
2018, I was living in Gilbert, Arizona.
And you were close to Lori and Lori's residence as well?
Yes.
Okay, how close?
If I remember right, she was living in her Chandler house, so probably 10, 12 minutes.
And in November of 2018, did you at that time know a person by the name of Melanie Gibb?
Sometime in 2018, I think was when I was introduced to Melanie Gibb.
Do you remember when in 2018?
I think towards in November sometime.
Did you participate in a seminar in 2018 with Melanie Gibb and Lori?
There was one Prepare People event that I attended, and I believe, I don't remember if she was there, but Chad was speaking at it.
Okay. And prior to that time, are you aware whether Lori had been introduced to Chad prior to November of 2018?
I believe she had already met him by November 2018.
Oh, okay. And you had already met Melanie Gibb at that time as well?
I believe so.
And you traveled to this Preparing the People conference?
It was in my city, or just in Mesa, I believe.
And Preparing the People, explain to me what that is.
It was my first time attending. I didn't know much about it, but Chad was speaking amongst a few other people, and it was like a mostly LDS-based ideas of the Second Coming, or how to prepare for the end of times.
Okay. And thank you for bringing that up. These Preparing the People conferences, these gatherings are based on your LDS faith. Is that right?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the testimony.
Sustain.
Okay. Based on ideas of LDS faith.
Some of the ideas there were LDS based.
Okay. And when you said the idea about the Second Coming,
yes.
Is that one of the ideas that's LDS based?
Yes.
Okay. So these Preparing the People conferences are not anything that's inconsistent with being a member of the LDS church. Is that right?
Not that I saw.
Okay. And you were there for the conference, right?
Yes, I went to that one conference.
Now, I came across some information on something called Seven Gatherers. Remember that?
It doesn't really ring a bell.
Okay. And you don't recall being involved with an organization called the Seven Gatherers with Melanie Gibb and Lori and Saluma Pastenev?
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying.
Overruled.
Do you recall being involved in an organization called the Seven Gatherers with Melanie Gibb, Saluma Pastenev, Lori, and yourself?
I don't remember being a part of a group called the Seven Gatherers.
Okay. Now, you previously testified that, well, I'll ask it this way. The vast majority of the information that you received about Chad came only from Lori. Is that fair?
Yes, most everything came through Lori.
So you didn't confirm any of this with Lori. You basically took your aunt's word when she said Chad talked about these various topics. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. And when Lori talked about moving from Arizona up to Idaho, you indicated that she wasn't particularly clear actually where she was going to move at that point. Would that be fair?
Yes.
In fact, there was a discussion with Lori at the time after Charles's death that she talked about living with Melanie Gibb. Do you recall that?
I didn't know she planned to live with Melanie Gibb.
She never told you that?
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
Okay. So if Lori were to make a representation that she would be...
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying.
Sustained.
And move to strike.
Stricken.
So this idea of light and dark, you originally mentioned that the light and dark is... well, I guess I would like you to clarify. Are you saying that the mentioning of light and dark is something that's within the LDS faith in terms of... the scriptures?
It does talk about light and dark in the scriptures.
Okay. So that was not a unusual or a new subject to you as part of being of the LDS faith. Is that right?
I didn't have a a great grasp on it, but okay. From what I understood it, the basis came from the scriptures. Okay.
Now, did you ever speak directly, and I mean face-to-face, to Chad about the children?
Are you referring to Tylee and JJ? I don't know if I did.
Okay. So any sort of information that you received about what Chad may have said, quite frankly, almost all of it came from Lori Vallow, did it not?
Most of it came from Lori Vallow.
Okay. You mentioned the name Julie Rowe. That name has come up previously. How do you know Julie Rowe?
I've never met Julie Rowe.
Do you know anything about what Julie Rowe does for an occupation?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance.
Overruled.
I believe she had a set of podcasts where she would talk about spiritual beliefs.
Okay. Did you ever attend any of her gatherings?
No.
And as far as Melanie Gibb, did you ever participate in any of Melanie Gibb's podcasts?
No.
Okay. Now, this idea of casting, you mentioned the idea of casting. Was that casting also part of your LDS faith?
It talks about casting out in the scriptures. I wasn't very familiar with it, but it...
Okay. So when we're talking about it, talks, but casting's talked about in the scriptures, we're talking about the LDS scriptures, are we not?
Yes.
Okay. And then I want to ask you a little bit about the term energy work. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
I think some people believe in doing different types of energy work.
What would be an example of a type of energy work?
I'm not super familiar on it, but from people I've met that do energy work, they will either almost like a reading. Okay. They'll say if you have certain cords attached or certain connections to like your ancestors.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it kind of does. But the term of vibrations, have you heard that term before?
Yes.
And what is vibrations?
I believe in energy work that you could be on a higher or lower vibration, like a frequency.
And that frequency is used for what?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm not super familiar on frequencies.
Would it be fair to say that some of this energy work is to be able to communicate with other entities?
Yes.
Okay. It could be used to communicate with the dead, right?
Yes.
Ancestors.
Yes.
Okay. And did you ever participate in energy work with Lori and Melanie Gibb?
I didn't really know a whole lot about energy work. From what I remember, I think Melanie Gibb was more familiar with it. So I would listen to their ideas, but I don't know if...
Right. And your recollection is Melanie Gibb was the one who was instructing you and Lori about the different aspects of vibrations.
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying. These are facts, not in evidence.
Stain.
Move to strike.
The question is stricken.
Would Melanie Gibb teach you about this vibrations and energy work?
I don't remember talking a lot with Melanie Gibb about vibrations or energy work.
You do have a recollection, though, that Melanie Gibb was more versed in the understanding of
energy. Objection, Your Honor. Ms. State's testimony.
Overruled.
You do have a more distinct recollection of Melanie Gibb teaching you about the different aspects of energy work, right?
I don't have a distinct memory of talking about all the different aspects.
Okay. But she was well versed. I'm sorry, Judge.
Cutting her off before she's done, please. You can complete your answer.
Thanks.
Sorry, I don't think I was going with that.
All right, I'll re-ask it. I apologize for interrupting you. I've got it in here and I want to bring it out and it's coming out too fast, so I'll try to slow down. Melanie Gibb had a better understanding of this vibrations and energy work than you did.
I believe so, yes.
And this was something that, were you aware of whether she went to remote camps and talked about this energy work?
Yes, she told me she went to camps and different things for that.
Okay. And when did she tell you that?
Objection, Your Honor, hearsay.
Overruled.
I don't remember, but I think it would be sometime maybe in 2019 or 2018.
Okay. And at that point, was it your understanding that Melanie Gibb was teaching this energy work or at least instructing it to people at these remote camps?
Objection, Your Honor, calls for hearsay.
Overruled.
It sounded like she was maybe teaching at those classes or at the, if there were camps or meetings, whatever she was attending.
And again, this was in 2018, 2019.
I'm not sure, but I would lean towards 2019.
Okay. Now, this idea of this term zombie, that was a term that you heard from Lori Vallow. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You never had Chad walk up to you and use the term zombie, did you?
I don't know if he, I guess I would say, I assume he used that term with Lori together. Okay.
And you're assuming that because all of the information that you got regarding Chad Daybell came directly from Lori Vallow's mouth, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates prior testimony.
Sustained.
All of the information about zombies that you learned came from Lori Vallow, did it not?
I don't know if it all came from Lori Vallow. I believed it to come from Chad.
Okay. And what are you basing that it came from Chad on? Chad never told you that, did he?
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative.
Overruled.
Chad never told you or used the word zombie in front of you, did he?
I can't remember a time that he did, but I...
And again, this reason for when you went to Hawaii, I believe that was in October. The reason you felt Alex stayed behind is because Lori told you Chad needed Alex to help him with something. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't hear that from Chad telling you he needed help from Alex, right?
No.
Okay. Was there anything unusual that you observed with Alex and Lori's personal relationship?
Not that I observed, no.
Okay. Would it have been a habit of Alex that when Lori moved to a new location, Alex would go to the same location?
No.
Okay. Alex lived in Arizona with Lori, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying. Move to strike.
Overruled.
Alex lived in Arizona with Lori, correct?
For a time, yes.
Okay. Alex wanted to go to Hawaii with Lori when Lori moved to Hawaii?
I don't know if he wanted to go to Hawaii.
Alex moved to Rexburg, Idaho when Lori moved to Rexburg, Idaho?
Yes, he moved with Lori.
And Alex wanted to move with Melanie Gibb and Lori when she was going to move back with them to Arizona?
Objection, Your Honor. Facts not in evidence. Counsel's testifying. Move to strike.
Sustained.
Judge, I don't have anything else. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Blake, once you're ready, you can conduct any redirect if you wish.
Oops.
Ms. Pulowski, did Chad and Lori teach you these things?
I believe they were both present when these ideas were, that both of the ideas were from both of them.
And you were asked a little bit about castings being part of the scriptures. When you're referencing that, do the scriptures reference it the same as the way Chad and Lori were teaching about castings?
No.
What about light and dark? Do the scriptures reference light and dark in the same way Chad and Lori were teaching about it?
No, they would use it as a basis and then elaborate with their ideas.
In using that as a basis, did it draw your attention?
Yes, they had a way to explain where everything their ideas came from and how there was a scriptural basis from it.
Did that make you more open to listening to them?
Yes.
The way they talked about zombies, have you ever seen that as part of the LDS faith?
No.
As part of the LDS faith, have you ever heard it taught that a body has to be destroyed if someone's possessed?
No.
And Alex didn't live with Lori in Arizona, is that correct?
I believe they had separate apartments.
And Judge, could we have a sidebar very quickly?
Sure. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think you just clarified that you believe Lori and Alex had separate apartments in Arizona, correct?
Yes.
When Lori moved to Hawaii in February or March of 2019, did Alex go with her?
I don't know.
To the best of your knowledge, did he move there?
I don't know at all.
When you talked about Alex going to Hawaii, that was for just a trip in October?
I don't remember talking about going to Hawaii with Alex. I just planned it with Lori.
And let me back up. On the trip that you'd heard Alex was intending to come, was that the October 2019 trip?
Yes.
And that was not to relocate, is that correct? It was just to visit?
To Hawaii?
Yes.
No, Lori said that he had told me he was going to join us, and then the plans changed.
And that was just a trip, though? You weren't going to remain in Hawaii?
Yes, Lori and I just planned it as a trip.
And when we talk about the light and dark, would you ask Lori to get the answers from Chad on that, if someone was light or dark?
Yes.
And did you ever learn anything in relation? And again, did you learn whether or not Charles was designated as dark?
Yes.
And was he designated as dark?
I believe so, yes.
Is Charles still alive?
No.
Was JJ designated as dark?
I believe so, yes.
Judge, this is going beyond the scope of cross.
Your Honor, is JJ still alive?
No.
Was Tylee labeled as dark?
Yes.
Is Tylee still alive?
No.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. All right. That'll conclude the testimony then of Ms. Pulaski. Is she still going to be remain under subpoena from either the state or the defense?
Your Honor, the state would ask for her to remain under just temporarily for today.
Okay. Well, where that would only be for today at the request of the state, is the defense intending to perhaps recall her in its case?
No, Judge.
Okay. Then, Ms. Pulaski, you are excused and apparently released from any subpoena until the state would decide later and advise you when that would occur. I am going to advise you not to watch any trial testimony online or in the courtroom until you're advised that you are no longer under subpoena for this case.
Okay.
Thank you to
Thank you,
appear
Jeff.
And testify. You can step down. All right, the state can call its next witness.
Your Honor, the state will call Ian Pulaski.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabay sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slip covers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slip covers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.